WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The most sickening occurrence in recent popular music is the current scandal surrounding the rap group Public Enemy. Last year, Public Enemy released an album called It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, a record widely praised for its innovative use of layered sounds and blunt yet artful rapping. It Takes a Nation of Millions sold more than 800,000 copies, a very high figure for rap music, especially rap as overtly political as this was. The group's newest song is called Fight the Power, and it appears on the soundtrack to the much-talked-about film by Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing. Fight the power! That's Fight the Power, which also features a saxophone solo by Branford Marsalis. The song is currently zooming up the charts, but in the midst of all this success, Public Enemy has apparently disbanded because of the controversy surrounding remarks made by the band's so-called Minister of Information, Richard Griffin, who goes by the name of Professor Griff. Griff gave an interview in the Washington Times on May 22nd, in which he made a series of anti-Semitic statements. Among other things, Griff was quoted as saying that Jews are, quote, wicked, and we can prove this, and that Jewish people are, quote, responsible for the majority of wickedness that goes on around the world. Much of the Washington Times interview was reprinted in the Village Voice 3 weeks later, as was a response from Public Enemy's lead vocalist and chief songwriter, Chuck D. His statement said that Public Enemy had disassociated itself entirely from Griff, and went on to say, quote, we apologize to anyone who might have been offended by Griff's remarks. We're offended too. We're not anti-Jewish, we're not anti-anyone, we are pro-black, pro-black culture, and pro-human race, unquote. This did nothing to settle the controversy. Among other things, a New York-based coalition called the Jewish Defense Organization, note, not the Jewish Defense League, began applying pressure to Public Enemy's record company, Def Jam, which is distributed by CBS Records. About a week ago, Public Enemy issued a statement saying that it had disbanded, quote, for an indefinite period of time. The album that Public Enemy was said to have been working on, a record with the terrific working title Fear of a Black Planet, is now in limbo. Now, I think distinctions have to be made in this matter, particularly when we're dealing with music as artistically rich as Public Enemy's is, or was. There's certainly no denying Griff's extensive influence on the group. He has appeared on stage as part of Public Enemy's uniform security force, and he's credited with co-writing one song on It Takes a Nation of Millions. That album also expresses admiration for Louis Farrakhan, himself no stranger to anti-Semitic remarks, though Chuck D has said his group is chiefly interested in what Farrakhan has to say about black economic and educational self-determination. From all of this, though, it's easy to imagine that if Griff had continued to minister his sort of disinformation, it might have surfaced in the music eventually. I'd like to stress, however, that no one has accused Public Enemy's works of art, their songs, of containing anti-Semitic sentiments. In thinking about all of this, a literary example comes to mind. P.G. Woodhouse, as a prisoner of war during World War II, wrote and recorded a series of radio broadcasts that were widely interpreted as being Nazi propaganda. Now, comparing a tough, urban American act like Public Enemy to the gentle, pastoral Britishness of P.G. Woodhouse may seem absurd, but I think they share, along with a huge talent for the creation of popular art, a certain sort of reprehensible gullibility. Writing about the Woodhouse situation, George Orwell said that, quote, it is important to realize that the events of 1941 do not convict Woodhouse of anything worse than stupidity. At this point, I'd say the same is roughly true of Public Enemy, with the added thought that in this case, that stupidity may have already cost them their career. As I said at the start, this is a sickening situation. I admire Public Enemy's music enormously. Some of you may remember that I cited It Takes a Nation of Millions as the best album of 1988 in a top 10 list on this show. I put on that album again soon after reading Professor Griff's remarks and found the music's bristling intelligence, humor, and passion to be completely at odds with the hostile ignorance of Griff's comments. The same is true of Fight the Power on the Do the Right Thing soundtrack. It's a song that any group of oppressed people, regardless of race or religion, could use as an exhilarating anthem. It's sickening that music this powerful should be weakened so abruptly and so dramatically.